Big news, big night. Georgia lands five-star linebacker Justin Williams. And fresh off of that decision, Justin's going to be kind enough to join us, and I believe we've already got him in here. We got to get started off with a bang. We got to get this guy moving because it's a big night for him. We want to let him get out and celebrate with his people. Justin, what's up, man? How you doing?
I'm doing good. How are you?
We're doing great, well, man. We're doing great. Listen, so I need to know, what was this whole thing going on with the call before you made the announcement? Who was clowning around?
My dad
gave
all the glue to my brothers. It's supposed to be secluded.
Nobody was in the building.
that was awesome. I just kind of seeing you get worked up about it. Like, hey, calm down. But yeah, no, that was fun. Just real quick, that moment, can you describe it? Can you kind of, I mean, I know that you'll do a bunch of other things that feel more important than that in your life, but just kind of putting it out there, getting your decision out there, what's that like for those that don't ever get a chance to do it?
I kind of left out something. For one, I wanted to say all my life I had a great support system. I did leave that out. You know, I was very nervous, but I had a great support system. Many people, you know, take me to practices, doing all this stuff, like, you know, my homies and stuff like that. But, yeah, so that moment was crazy, you know. I was very nervous, but I'm excited now, you know, get that off my chest. But, you know, more to come, you know. Train hard now.
Gotcha. Congratulations, Justin. You know, I always ask guys, what does it feel like, man, to just kind of have that weight off of your shoulders? You know, the opportunity to kind of go ahead and get it done. And, you know, it's tough, man. There's a lot of great aspects about all of these colleges that are recruiting you. How does it feel, though, to have this out of the way now?
It feels good. You know, like I said, I still love Oregon to my heart, you know, but it just feels good to get out the way. You know, it's very stressful, you know, people talking to you that you haven't even met before, you know, so it's like, it's crazy, but it feels good to get out the way.
So ultimately, don't want to get too deep into this whole, into the, hey, why did you do this? Why did you do that? But I do want to ask you, you only took two official visits. You took a lot of unofficial visits. What was the decision behind just taking two official visits, and how big of a role did that play in your decision to pick Georgia?
I'd say it played a big role. You know, I feel like my whole since like freshman until now, I've been scouting out coaches, giving them opportunity, and I feel like between those two schools, those coaches really gave me the best opportunity and what I was looking for, and just treated me not like an object, but more of as a human. So I feel like those two really got out the way. That's why I only took two. I feel like you only need the ones that really treat you well.
Now, break down your game for us a little bit, Justin. Obviously, I know what the tape tells us, and I know what the rankings say, and those are all pretty good things. But talk to me a little bit about your own game, man. What are the things that you feel like you do well? What are the things that you feel like you bring to the table? And also, too, going into this senior year, what are you trying to work on and refine about your game?
I'll say one thing I do well is just making a play when the play is needed and just going downhill and just – you know, just being everywhere. You can ask my teammates. They hate when I'm still they tackle, still everything, but especially when we're right here. But, you know, just always being in the play. So I feel like I do that very well. One thing I'm looking forward to this season is just playing with my guys. You know, football can only last so long and memories are forever. So I'm really looking forward to being with them.
Now, one of your teammates, Joseph Jonah Janye, was we had him on here a couple days after he committed to Georgia. He was telling stories on you. He's saying about how, you know, you have parts of practice where maybe they're going like half speed and you don't really know how to do that. You kind of just run through folks. Is that true?
Yeah, it's definitely true. My coaches get on me all the time. There's a couple of times where I'm just taking it full speed. I don't know how to slow down, you know. Ever since I was little, I just never liked to slow down. So I think, you know, why can you stop, you know, just keep going.
So is football the first love? I mean, where did your competitive spirit come from? Did you have another sport that you grew up loving, or was it football from the jump?
It's been football through and through, you know, since I was a baby, you know. I always play football. My brothers play football. My dad loves watching football. And so, yeah, I had to play football.
Is there a guy out there that you kind of model your game after, Justin? You know, a lot of people have asked us to make comparisons and talk about what we think about it. But is there a guy that you kind of strive to be? Is there a guy that you kind of model it all off after?
I would say I wouldn't like model myself behind guys because, you know, everybody's different. But I say I like to play like the physical people like Sean Taylor like he just said, Ray Lewis and Luke Kuechly. I feel like those guys really like dominated and everybody just came to football. So I feel like that's really how I just look behind.
Those are good names to base your game after, I would say.
Yeah. I'd say that works. I'd say that's going to work for you pretty good. I don't think now, who you are basing your game after is going to hold you back.
Now, I did want to ask you, you played some safety earlier in your career and played in the defensive backfield. You know, what was the transition like for you, man? I mean, how did you prefer playing back there? I mean, was there – is it a little bit more exciting maybe to be kind of in the middle of the whole, all the action?
I would say for me, playing safety was cool. You know, it's just something that the team needed at the time. But I feel like I'm more in the box, you know. I leave the coverage to all the DBs and stuff like that. I'm really not, you know, fluid with the hips. And so I feel like linebacker is where I'm supposed to be, and God led me to that moment.
So take me
– Go ahead,
Jake.
No.
Yeah, all right. So take me to like a holiday at your house, right? Let's say Thanksgiving or a Sunday dinner during the fall or whatever. First of all, we'll start with what's on the TV first. What team, you know, obviously you live in Texas, Cowboys guy. I mean, who's always on the television?
The Bears?
No, hold on. The Bears through and through for sure. The Bears.
Okay. Yeah. The Bears.
Yeah.
What are those Chicago roots? How does that go down? How do you end up a Bears fan?
My whole family from Chicago, so.
Okay. Very, very interesting. So I guess you got pretty familiar watching the Bears, Roquan Smith there for a little bit, right? I mean, that's the guy that I compare you to because, you know, I think you did play some running back at some point, right?
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
Yeah. So, I mean, what do you think of, you know, kind of that comparison if somebody was compared to Roquan Smith?
I think Roquan, you know, he's the best ever to come through UGI for like linebacker wise. He paved the way when, you know, people wasn't really looking at Georgia. So I think Roquan, he's great. You know, a very downhill type of person to go make a play. I feel like, yeah, me and Roquan, very similar.
Real quick, Jake, stay in this same vein real quick. Let me throw this one at him too. All right, so that's what's on the TV. What's on the table? Like if you're getting to pick it, what's on the table at that Sunday dinner?
Shoot, burgers and some fries, probably some wings. I'm not really like a hard type of, you know, just easy to please, really. McDonald's, really, honestly.
All right, simple food, man. I got it.
You mentioned Roquan. You mentioned some of these guys that you watch, Luke Kuechly, those kind of guys. And I know that you talked to Sam Spiegelman about this, but I just want to kind of hear it from you. You know, Georgia's development at linebacker and the role that Glenn Schumann's had in that, you know, how impactful was that in this decision for you, man?
I would say Coach Schumann played a huge part of my recruitment. I think if Coach Schumann wasn't there, you know, it'd be a different story. But, you know, God obviously put him there for a reason. And Coach Schumann, he's a great developer. You know, we hop on Zoom calls all the time, you know, just talk ball, talk football and stuff like that. He's really a great part in developing you as a human and as a player, I feel like.
What about Joseph and his role in this whole thing, man? I mean, how, him being there, him wanting to come, you guys being tight. I mean, you know, he talked about the bond that you guys share and said that you guys are really close. How impactful was it when he decided, hey, Georgia's the spot for me? You know, did that factor in for you too?
Yeah, I feel like when I took my Oregon OV, I was definitely set on going to Oregon. You know, I felt like I was ready to make that commitment. But then Joseph, he said he liked UGA, so I was like, man, I got to rethink it. And then, you know, obviously we're here now, so I guess it did roll out the way it's supposed to.
Yeah.
Yeah, he, you know, I think it's awesome. You know, a lot of guys, you know, you end up with like one player on one team, or you end up with, you know, a guy playing offense, so you get a linebacker and receiver, a defensive lineman, an offensive lineman. You guys are kind of in tandem. One of the things I was noticing in watching your film, you lay a big hit, but if you weren't going to make the play, he was about to make the play. And I see him a lot on I see you a lot on his film too. What, you know, how long have y'all played together, and what's it kind of been like forming that relationship on the field? Because you do kind of have the common goal there.
I'll say we've been playing since sophomore year. You know, Joseph, he came in from Conroe, you know, didn't really know nothing about football, but then but then, you know, we had to, you know, he matured obviously and it worked out for him. But I think can you ask a question again? I'm sorry.
Well, I keep trying to ask questions thinking I can get him to pop in because he's right there, and I think I'm going to be able to say something. I just want him to kind of speak up and just kind of jump in and maybe, you know, get involved there. But no, I was just messing. I was just saying that, you know, obviously you guys, you know, play on the same side of the ball. You got the same goal. You're going to the same school. You guys have gone through the recruitment process together. What has all of that meant in terms of how close it's allowed y'all to grow together? And obviously you got a chance to do something special as seniors.
For me, I feel like, you know, just us being at Oak Ridge has really brought everyone closer. Like, we're a close-knit type of football team. We've been since freshman year, middle school and everything like that. And I think Adam, Joseph, and everything was really good because, you know, we got to be a part of our family. You know, we don't really like to leave each other. So I feel like now we're close as ever.
Mm-hmm. I'll be honest. I didn't know that was Joseph in the background. I thought that was your uncle. I thought it was an uncle. I really did.
Uncle Joseph.
You guys have done this. You guys have had this experience, and I mean, look, you're two of the top players in America. You know, you could have gone anywhere you wanted. Obviously, both of you settle on Georgia in the end for you. You know, each individually. I mean, why Georgia? What was it?
For me, it was because of the competitiveness, and then they just love to win, and then the development, and then also the connection that the whole of UGA as a whole has, from the players to the coaches to the supporting staff and then the fans, you know. Yeah, that's about it.
I'll say for me, what really brought me towards UGA is, just like Joseph said, the competitiveness. Like I said in one of my interviews, since I was a freshman, I always loved UGA, you know, just going out there competing in one of the camps. And I feel like UGA brings something that, you know, most programs don't really have. You know, you can have Bama and stuff like that. But, you know, it's about having a family at the end of the day. You know, people got to love you at the end of the day because football can end. So I feel like they really brought that to the table. And it was like, yeah, we're going to love you off the field. But, you know, when you get on the field, you got to work. And they really brought that out and, you know, just told us the truth. And I feel like most coaches don't really tell you the truth, and they just hide behind the, everything and the red carpet and stuff like that. But UGA really brought that out. So I feel like that really, like, stuck out to me.
We talked to Joseph about this when he committed too, but obviously Oregon put in a lot of work, you know, did a lot of things right. I mean, you said that Oregon visit, you kind of wanted to commit there. What can you kind of just let us behind the ropes a little bit and kind of let us know what was it like having to kind of tell Coach Lanning and your other coaches there that it wasn't going to be them? That it was going to be Georgia and not them.
I'll say for me that was really hard, you know, because Lennon, he's like kinfolk to me, honestly. You know, he treated me like I was one of his, you know, let me in his house and stuff like that. So I feel like that was really hard. That was a really tough conversation. You know, I teared up a little bit, honestly, because, you know, I'm a relationship type of person. So when I meet you, I really do, you know, still hold that to my heart. So I feel like that was really hard for me.
I thought it was interesting throughout this whole thing that you guys, you know, being two of the top players in Texas, and we just didn't hear a lot about the Texas schools, man. We didn't hear a lot about Texas A&M. We didn't hear a lot about the Texas Longhorns. You guys both seemed to be, like, kind of looking elsewhere. What was that about, man? I mean, where did that kind of come from? Is it the Chicago roots for you, Justin?
I'll say for me, really just the relationships, you know. Coaches, I feel like they have great programs, but, you know, they're not really focused on building me as a man, really focused on the football aspect, you know. And then for me, it was just about being a priority, you know, not saying that you have to be the face of everything, you know, just giving me millions of dollars, stuff like that. But I'll say, just treating me like a human, you know. When I went up there, it was just didn't really feel the same, and, you know, God led me to be here, so, you know, yeah. I made the right decision.
Yeah, man.
Now, are you guys going to be headed to Athens at the same time? Are you an early enrollee going to be there in January or for bowl practice or whatever?
Yeah, we both are, yeah.
Okay.
Are we going to continue? Are we going to be roommates? Have we talked about this?
Yeah, I think I want to be roommates. I don't know about him. Yeah, I say, yeah, we might as well.
Who's the messy one? That's what I
got
to know.
Listen, from our interview with Joseph, I kind of got the impression this guy might be living by himself in a couple years. Might just be like, hey, listen, I need my time. I need my sleep. I need my food. Y'all just leave me alone. Well, man, thanks so much for joining us. We appreciate it. I didn't want to keep you too long because, you know, obviously you've got a family to celebrate with. What's on deck now? What are you guys, you know, obviously it's a little earlier for you at 7:30 there. It's 8:30 here. What are you guys going to do to celebrate and kind of finish off the night?
get lit, honestly, party, have a good time.
Yeah. Hey, is there a cake somewhere? Is there some sweets? Is there some cupcakes or something?
No, we don't do cakes, but we don't do cake out here. But
hey, that's why you look like that and I look like this.
Yeah, we'll get some cheesecake, something like that.
Rock and roll.
All right, man, take care. We appreciate you, dude.
Thank you, guys.
Thank y'all. Appreciate y'all. Appreciate y'all.
Congratulations.
Thank you so much.
That was fun. That was
wow.
It got a little hectic, and with him cutting in and out, it got a little weird for me. But I wanted to talk more Nigerian food, but I feel like everybody's starting to learn how fat I am. So at least in my heart. So but that was really cool of him. And hey, listen, I want to. Yeah, that would be nice. It would be nice because, I mean, listen, we may be in Houston very soon.
Yeah.
If Georgia plays the national championship game there, it would be nice to have a good wing spot. But, listen, I spoke to Justin's dad earlier today, Bernard. And, Bruce, I'm thinking Bernard might be a Bark After Dark guest at some point. Didn't get to see him on there. But, listen, he had some good stories. You can tell he's a natural storyteller. You know, and had some good stories from their official visits. And I'm thinking what we're going to do. And I talked to him about it. I said, I'd like to catch up with you a couple, two or three games into the season and maybe one more time. So you can tell us how these guys are playing and what kind of senior season they're having. It's kind of funny, man. This little Texas Conroe, Texas, Oak Ridge connection with Bark After Dark, man. I mean, got two of the commitments, you know, on the show and everything. We've, maybe the official podcast of Oak Ridge High School at this point.
Yeah, I should say so. And we got a correspondent now in the dad, so that's fantastic. Yeah. It's pretty tremendous. Listen, I'll tell you this. Go over, if you haven't, and read Chad Simmons' story about this commitment, because he had, this kid gave probably one of the best quotes you're ever going to read on this. He said, going to Georgia, it's like throwing yourself against wolves. You've either got to eat or you'll starve. That's some badass stuff right there, dude. That's
it,
like,
is.
Kirby Smart trickling down on these cats, man. That's eating off the floor. That's they might adopt that one. You might hear that one again at SEC Media Days next year if Kirby gets onto that one, man.
Well, I mean, you know, he plays inside linebacker, and the Wolfpack is the outside linebacker group, you know, because everybody knows Chaz Chambliss, El Lobo Blanco. The White Wolf, okay, was the name given to him by other people. So, but yeah, I mean, I think I told Rusty this, man, you know, we all talk a lot. And I think I told Rusty this a couple months ago when we were talking about DeMarcus Riddick, who's not going to be in this class for Georgia. And that's, you know, that's fine when you get a guy like Justin Williams. And listen, Georgia fans, I'm not going to do this, but I'm giving you all the permission in the world. When you start talking to your Auburn, you know, your Auburn brother-in-law or your Alabama buddy at work, you tell them that you lost DeMarcus Riddick because Georgia got the number one linebacker in America recruited and he ran away. That's not true. Okay. I'm not saying that. I'm not saying that that's true. Okay. You're saying that. You're saying that to try and get a little bit of a troll in. Okay. I'm just teaching you how to troll from the internet right now. But I was talking to Rusty about it, Bruce, and I said, with what Georgia recruited last year, you either have to go get some developmental guys, you know, some guys that are maybe a little undersized, a little thin, they need to go a couple years, or when you're trying to follow up a class of Raylan Wilson, C.J. Allen, and Troy Bowles, you go get dudes. You go get guys that don't give a rip who they are competing with. They're just there to do it. And that guy right there, I'm telling you right now, We've got it on video. There's a video that's embedded in our stories that you and I did earlier today, and I'm saying it again right now. I don't think Georgia has signed a linebacker that is more talented than that kid right there. And it may not work out for him, you know. I mean, he may get a, you know, something minor may happen. It may not click for him at Georgia. Something about the scheme may not grab for him. I don't know.
If you were gonna bet, what would you bet on?
What would I bet on? I would bet on him. I would bet on
it working out for him or not.
It's going to work out for him, I think.
Yeah.
like if you said, like if you gave me $1,000 and you said you had to bet on, him winning a buckus or not, or you can just pocket the money, I'd probably take that house money and say he wins a buckus. Because I just, listen, man, I think he's, you know, Raylan Wilson's right there too. I would put him right there in that Raylan Wilson tier. Even, you know, the N'Kobe Dean tier, even though, you know, he's a different player than N'Kobe. I think he's more athletically gifted, but N'Kobe's got a football player inside of him that's way bigger than his 5'11", 220-pound frame. Roquan's obviously a stud. Alec Ogletree was amazing at Georgia.
That to me is not an unfair comparison for this kid.
Because you're probably right.
You mentioned Roquan, and Roquan, outstanding player. No question about it. But smaller than this guy. I mean, Roquan was probably.
I don't know how big this guy is. I've never seen him in person. You know, right? I've never seen it.
We got him listed at 6'2". So right, I'm going to give him 6'1", maybe 6'1 and a half. Maybe. You'll look at the tape, right? Roquan probably closer to 6' than he is to 6'1". I mean, I don't know what he's listed at, but that would be my.
Yeah, I don't know what don't know what his measurements were at the NFL Combine. I want to say it was like 6'5".
That doesn't feel right to me, but maybe it is.
It may be. I really don't.
Wikipedia says he's 6'1", and I'd be surprised to know that. But anyway, regardless, yeah, I think Alec Ogletree, in terms of, you know, just raw athleticism, and also too, Ogletree spent some time back there at that safety spot, yeah.
Roquan, yeah, he did. That's where he started his career. Yeah.
Roquan measured in at 6'1", 236.
Okay. Producer Palmer, we love the appearances.
Yeah, so a flat 6'1". So, you know, listen, if he's a legit 6'2", I mean, listen, I don't think Alec Ogletree was a full 6'2" either. So, sure. But yeah, you know, when you start drawing the comparisons, having played other positions, I thought Roquan, because I knew that Justin Williams had played some running back. I talked to his dad about that earlier, about him playing some running back and everything. But one of the things about this recruitment is another name pops up in this thing that's been popping up all over the place. He popped up with Jordan Thomas, and he popped up with Nyjer Daniels, and now he's popping up with Justin Williams in the Lone Star. We're a long way from New Jersey at this point. And Fran Brown's just over here, you know, being like, hey, dude, you know, he's over here being, you know, I was going to say John Stockton to Karl Malone, but nobody likes Karl Malone anymore. So I'll just say, you know, right, Chris Paul to it. I mean, he's over here just throwing dimes, just assists all over the place. Fran Brown's helping Georgia get Justin Williams. And that's one question I didn't get to, but I was trying to kind of steer it away from football a little bit and let's get to know Justin the kid. But
That's a luxury, though. That's a luxury you have when you're Fran Brown and your class looks the way that Fran Brown's class does, man. I mean, you've got the opportunity to kind of spread your wings and go out. And, man, listen, you're going to make yourself – I've said this before, and I'll say it again. You need to appreciate Fran Brown while he's here because he is not going to be here. He's not going to be Glenn Schumann for you, I don't believe. I think that he is probably bound for bigger, better things in very short order. And when you are able to put things like this on your resume, oh, yeah, I went out and got a number one cornerback and I got another top 100 cornerback, another top 100 prospect at cornerback. And, oh, yeah, I also helped land the nation's number one linebacker. And, oh, yeah, I helped land a 4-star defensive lineman. Those are the kind of things, man, that's how you develop a reputation. I mean, that's Kirby Smart-esque in terms of wide appeal on that side of the ball. And all credit due, man. Doing a fantastic job. Like I said, I hope folks appreciate what Fran Brown's doing.
Let's make some Fran Brown predictions right here. Okay, I'm going to make one. I've got a chain reaction that's coming, okay? Glenn Schumann's going to take a head job next 2 or 3 years, all right? Fran Brown's going to become defensive coordinator. Then Fran Brown's going to take a head job in 2 or 3 years, and that's the way it's going to be. I think that's the natural order of things.
I think that that's an ideal situation for you. Absolutely. Yeah. I think
but you're not going to keep – I agree with you. You're not going to keep them both for very much longer.
No, and to me,
he's going to have a spot to move up to.
Well, to me, Fran's one of those guys, I think, that you could potentially go back. You could go into, like, the Northeast, and he's going to be an incredibly appealing name. If you're a UConn, you should probably look at this guy, man. Young, up-and-comer, able to recruit up in the Northeast, man. A Temple where he was prior, right? Should probably consider a Fran Brown. I think he interviewed for that job at one point, if I'm not mistaken. You know, you've got – I think that in that area, I mean, listen, Rutgers, I don't know that they're going away from Greg Schiano anytime, and that's a bit be a big step. But the dude's got some juice behind him right now, and I think that he'll get his pick of a really good job. And if he wants to go home, I think he's going to have that opportunity. But if he hangs around and develops as a DC and continues in Georgia's program like this, sky's the limit, I think, for Fran Brown. I think he could probably go about anywhere he wanted to at the clip he's recruiting at. Jesus Christ, that kid just destroyed that kid. And that ball just popped out. He gave it up like Sonic, Christmas, man. Like
Sonic the Hedgehog, dude. Like Sonic the Hedgehog. Man.
The rings just flying out of the guy.
Yeah, the stuff flying everywhere. I just, when I think about Fran Brown, you talk about kind of the Northeast. I agree totally. Like, UConn, all of those schools would be foolish not to come after him. But there are some tough springboards in that area of the country, man. I mean, about the closest you get to that area is maybe Penn State, just in terms of that, hey, where can you go and have a chance to win a national championship? Penn State is about as close as you really get up in there, because it has been a long time. I would say, if you're not including Penn State, I mean, Rutgers had a little bit of a run with Schiano there before, but I don't think anybody ever really thought they were going to, get over the top. It was just really impressive what Schiano was doing. Yeah. But, I would honestly, dude, I would take it probably back to the Donovan McNabb Syracuse years. Ooh. When they, maybe when Maryland, maybe you could throw Maryland in the mix there too, a tiny bit. But, when Ralph Ridgeon was there, they kind of made a couple of BCS bowl games, kind of New Year's Six style bowls. I remember when I believe it was Syracuse played Florida one year in a bowl game, got the snot kicked out of them, I believe. That's kind of what I would point to. Maybe I'm thinking about Maryland having done
that. It's hard, man. Listen, I'm not saying none of those jobs is going to be easy. Robert Bennett over here says, don't nobody want to go to UConn or Temple. I'm not saying that that's easy, man. I'm not saying that that's something that necessarily benefits him. But if you're able to recruit the area in the way that I think that he can, to go into New Jersey, which New Jersey is a sneaky good football state. There's a lot of good players that come out of New Jersey. New York has kind of taken a turn and is producing a better clip than it has over the last few years. You go get some of those kids out of Pennsylvania. Maybe you go find a kid like Yazid Haynes, that's maybe a little under the radar, or Josh Miller in Virginia, and you're able to pull some guys like that. Suddenly you're able to kind of increase the stature of those programs. I think you're able to put better players on the field at least. And, he's had a chance to be a part of some great evaluations, be a part of some great recruitments. And overall, I think that it's, I think it's been advantageous for his career, certainly. Overall, I think it's been good for Georgia as well that he's been there.
No doubt. And then obviously Glenn Schumann's the animal all to himself, right? I mean, I think Georgia fans have to kind of hope that he is the Kirby Smart to Nick Saban. Not saying he's Kirby Smart, Kirby Smart's Nick Saban. There's a long way to go on both areas. I'm not trying to make a comparison other than to say, is he the guy that's going to sit there and be very, very, very patient because he's only 33 years old. That's something else you've got to consider there is Glenn Schumann is 33 years old. This cat steps in and coaches a Georgia's first Butkus Award winning linebacker ever at 28 years old.
Yep.
So that's kind of, Glenn Schumann's resume. And, you always kind of have your opinions on who's going to make a great head coach and who isn't. I think Glenn Schumann is a very different person than Kirby Smart, just in terms of, relationally. Like I've talked with, Glenn Schumann before, and you just get a different vibe with talking with him and Kirby Smart,
Glenn Schumann was not a player.
Right. Right.
I mean, I think that's an aspect of it. Right. I mean, I think that he comes at it from a different angle than most guys would. He's kind of unique in that respect.
That's one of those things I would like to sit down and talk with him a little bit more about, though, is, I mean, I bet he played high school ball, he's not a small person. It's not like he's just this you know, tiny little dude like Lou Holtz is. You know, everybody talks about Lou Holtz didn't play. Glenn Schumann is not 5'5", 140 pounds. I mean, he's
right.
He's 6'1", 6'2", 200 pounds, you know. But yet I would, you know, something you'd like to get a chance to dig into, but you don't get to at these, you know, media days in the preseason, where, cause everybody's like, talk about,
you might get him, talk you about might get him, we might get him right for, we normally get one during fall camp, don't we?
Yeah, but it's terrible.
I mean, yeah. So you've got your question already done. All right. Before we get into this, speaking of things that are not terrible, let's talk about bird dogs.
Okay, yeah, let's do that.
My box finally came in, and I was stoked to get it. I got my stuff out. And listen, I've been missing out. Bird dogs has gotten better over the last couple of years. My bird dogs are like 7 years old. They're kind of whipped, but I still wear them all the time because they're comfortable as hell. Those fresh bird dogs, either they made them better or it just matters because it's been a long time since I've had them. I don't know which one it is, but let's just assume that it's better. You can go over, check Bird Dogs out for yourself at birddogs.com/DAWGS and check out with our promo code DAWGS. Palmer's got some bird dogs over in the cart already. I can see up there. Looking like he got the he's got the tumbler up. And the tumbler is what comes with our promo code. So you can get the Yeti style tumbler. It comes in. I'm not kidding you. They're the best fitting shorts. They're the most comfortable shorts. There's nothing that stains these things. I've spilled wine. I've spilled beer. I've spilled queso dip. I've spilled anything that you can imagine on these things. It all comes out. Don't worry about it.
Wait a minute. I've got a rebuttal. Taco Bell fire sauce, very tough to get out of these things. Just letting you know right now.
You rub a little Dawn dish soap. Listen, I've done this a million times. You rub the little Dawn dish soap on those things. You spray them off with your sink sprayer. You go hang them over the bar on your hang them over your shower rod. You're good to go, man. I promise you, it'll wash out the next cycle. I've done it a million times. You don't know how much wine has been spilled on my bird dogs. Go over, check out birddogs.com/DAWGS and use our promo code DAWGS and get yourself that Yeti tumbler. Get yourself some bird dogs. Look good, feel good, play good, right?
Hey, let me tell my man John Daly over here something, okay? $72 for shorts is steep, okay? But like Jake Roos just told you, things last a very, very long time, and they are some.
It was like 8 years. I had them like
They're
8 years.
Some kind of special comfortable.
I wear them every single day if I have the opportunity to do that. I wear.
What do you think about the What do you think about the joggers?
I'm gonna have to wait for it to get a little colder before I put those on. I tried them on; they're comfortable. Also, to the style, really, my look normally. I don't know.
Yeah.
I'm a big thick thigh.
I don't know, man. I put them on, thought I might could give somebody a Bruce Lee cross kick or something. You know? I felt real athletic in those things, dude.
I can see you rocking that blue polo or rocking that blue hoodie and rocking your joggers, man. I know that it's going to happen. My joggers are blue.
My joggers are blue.
I got blue ones.
I'm going to have to rock the Gray Dogs HQ hoodie. Get out there, look like some Rocky out here, you know, drop some pounds, maybe, who knows. But I hope I don't try to Bruce Lee cross kick anybody. I'm going to tear something if I do.
Once again.
Yeah, for sure. But, hey, we were talking about Glenn Schumann and, you know, the idea that Glenn Schumann, you never know. If you're an elite program, your coaches may not be long for your program. They're there. Most of them are going to be in line for promotions. But, you know, I think Georgia fans have to kind of sit there and, you know, if you're talking about dynasty, if you're talking about long-term success, you gotta kind of hope he's the guy that you can kind of keep giving these raises to and get him to stick around and wait for the perfect opportunity. I don't think Kirby Smart did that. I think that's the way it worked out for Alabama. Listen, Kirby Smart almost took that Auburn job when Gus got it. I mean, he didn't almost take that job. He wanted that Auburn job when Gus got it. And I think Gus got it over him over some stuff that, you know, Auburn probably screwed it up, to be honest with you, hindsight being 2020. You know, Auburn probably messed that up. I mean, I think Kirby, you know, had a chance to maybe get some other jobs or looked at some other jobs. Maybe he turned some others down. Maybe he didn't. But ultimately, you want that guy to stick around as long as possible, because I'm sitting here thinking to myself, three coaches that have been there since the beginning, that have been there since the very start, and that's Kirby, that's Glenn Schumann, and that's Dale McGee.
Yeah.
And I think that's it. If I'm not – I mean, Trey Scott got there year two because of 1 year of Tracy Rocker.
You have 1 year of 1 year of Beamer? Just 1 year?
2 years of Beamer.
2 years of Beamer? Okay.
Yeah, Beamer was there for the
third offensive line coach.
And then Todd Hartley didn't even come in. Like, Todd Hartley didn't even come immediately after Beamer. You had 1 year where Jim Chaney coached tight ends and James Coley coached quarterbacks. Yeah.
That's right.
So that wasn't even immediate. So, I mean, you had a few different DBs coaches. I think three different DBs coaches. Mel Tucker, Jamal Adai, Charles Moore. Yeah, you're on the fourth. So, I mean, you've had three different outside linebacker coaches, counting Scherer, Lanning, and Uzo Deribe, three different O-line coaches. So most positions have had at least three coaches, whereas those three, the ones that have been there since the beginning, you got, obviously as producer Palmer's right here talking about Scott Sinclair, and since the beginning, an unsung hero, the man, the dude that's probably behind the success of the entire program but would never admit it, Jonas Jennings. Oh, okay. Jonas Jennings. Listen, Claude Felton, absolutely. Jigs Mobley and my man Leland Barrow, Chris Lakos, all those guys at Sports Info. I don't know how they do it all. They couldn't do it without them. So Ron Corson, as Palmer points out, but I'm talking – we're getting in the weeds here. But, So, yeah, I mean, those guys have been there from the beginning. They're a negative part of that culture. And you can see it in those comments from Kirby Smart that Palmer had up just a minute ago talking about Glenn Schumann, about, hey, if there's a guy that I want to go bounce something off of that I know understands where I'm coming from on it and knows what I feel like it'll do for the program, is Glenn Schumann. And that's high praise, man. That's high praise.
And like I said, too, I think he probably appreciates Schumann's kind of outsider mentality as opposed to a lot of the people in the building, in terms of guys who played collegiately or played professionally or, had a chance to do that. I think it probably does provide a unique perspective. Now, I mean, Schumann's been in it long enough that he's probably been able to garner all that he needs to in that respect. But I do think that he's probably able to come at things a lot differently than a lot of guys on Georgia's staff, just because of his background and where he came from. And it's a unique path that he's had.
Absolutely. No, I'm with you. All right, dude, Jake on Jake. You got a question for me?
Yeah. So I was going to go back and talk to you about so I've been watching Righteous Gemstones, obviously. You have as well, right?
I'm a little behind, but yeah, I'm a little behind.
Oh God, you got to catch up. There's how far behind?
I think I'm not going to give spoilers. I think I saw the first three episodes maybe, because the first two weren't that great, and it really picks up in the third. I need more Keith. I need more Judy. Not that I don't love Danny McBride, I do, but he's a setup man in this thing. Judy and Keith are superstars, dude.
No, you're getting – listen, you have got to get caught up. I'm not – this invalidates my question, because I can't even really ask you. Like, I was going to ask you.
It's good.
Well, I was just going to ask you who your favorite character was this season.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, obviously, Baby Billy, I think, is – I'm going to take him off.
Yeah, Baby Billy. Baby Billy Bible Bonkers.
Okay. Baby Billy Bible Bonkers is one of the great, like, throughout this season so far, and I'm not, like I said, I swear to God, I'm not going to spoil anything for you. It's just one of the consistent undertones that just keeps popping up out of nowhere. And it's just
I'm the biggest Paul Goggins fan there is, too. Like, I love him so much in Justified. But I mean, dude, I will say this, where I'm at in this season, just overall, I really think. Yeah, I listen to the rewatchables a lot with Bill Simmons, and that he has an award called the Dion Waiters Award. And the Dion Waiters Award is like, hey, dude comes in, plays 5.5 minutes, scores 13 points, gets two steals, and, you know, has three assists, no turnovers. Like, he just – he comes in and he's just – dude, Keith is maybe one of the funniest, like, characters that's ever been written into television. Like, all they got to do is show his face. He doesn't have to say anything.
Oh, yeah.
They can just show that goofy-ass face of his, and I lose it every time. If I see that guy in public, he's going to end up whipping my ass because I'm going to start laughing at him, and he's going to be like, why are you laughing? And probably just beat me to death. But, I mean, Judy's awesome, too, but Keith, dude, that whole character, just the whole arc there just kills me and fires me up. So that's mine. So, hey, listen, when we've talked about this before, both of us are ordained to do wedding ceremonies. And I want to use this time as a promotion. If you want your wedding, if you want a Georgia Bulldogs wedding, Jake Roos and I'll do it. He'll do it. I'll do it. We'll both do it. If you ever want a wedding done, if you're getting married, we will gladly do it. And you know, some drinks, a meal, and, you know, maybe you put us up in a hotel or something. We'd like to have separate rooms, though, if possible. We've shared enough hotel rooms over the years. We get separate rooms. Yeah, we'll be good to go. When is the last time you visited? When is the last time that you visited or did a wedding that you weren't officiating? When's the last time you went to a wedding that you weren't officiating? And did you dance at that wedding?
So I got one coming up in August that I'm not officiating. And I think prior to that, the last one I attended was probably like late last summer, I think. And yes, I did dance because I was drunk. And like, it's Chuck Klosterman. If you've ever read his stuff, really good, fantastic writer, great essayist. And he says, I have a rule in life, which is that if I am too sober to drive, or if I'm sober enough to drive, I am too sober to dance. And I try to live by that methodology. If I feel like I probably can't drive, then I would, I could probably get out, cut a rug a little bit. And listen, man, I've had to go out and turn up a dance floor before too. You know, you got, sometimes you feel bad, right? You see things aren't going the way that they need to go. The bride's over there. Why isn't anybody dancing at my wedding? Hey, you know, I go hit another shot and I'm out there, you know, I go over to the DJ. I request Yeah by Usher and it's on, man. I go out there. I got a whole dance down. I got hand motions. I got this. I sing the thing. We got a whole,
dude, I went to one this weekend for some of my wife's family. I think I embarrassed my wife. I think there was at a point she told me I needed to cool it. Okay, I need to settle down. I had imbibed lots of Negronis, lots of tequila soda and limes. I'm a big Negroni fan. I've got a problem with Negronis, especially when they're free. And, dude, I was out there cracking the Bernie like nobody's business. And the thing was it was like this was a live band. There's like all sorts of instrumentals. There are about five different singers. It was at the Sweetgrass Inn on Isle of Palms, which is kind of a newish hotel resort. Wonderful wedding. Wonderful wedding. Seth and Carol Rice put on a beautiful wedding for their daughter, Annie. Did a phenomenal job. But, yeah, my wife had to tell me to cool it at one point. I think I probably pouted a little bit. I think I was probably like, oh, tell me to be quiet.
I think you told me, I believe you told me that didn't the father of the bride said that you had the best time of anyone there?
Yeah, he did. He said, yeah, I think you had anybody there. So there's video somewhere. And Dylan Brooks, before we go, buddy, I will gladly come to Rome and do your wedding. Roos and I will both do it. We'll tag team that thing up at the front. You know, I'll wear whatever you want to wear. I'll wear a Dawgs HQ hoodie.
We stayed in that super nice hotel right across from
the courtyard, I believe it is.
Yeah, it's the courtyard. Yeah, it was nice though. That was a nice courtyard. Just
across the river. Yeah.
And dude, I will go. I will absolutely go back to Giggity's. We will do a meet and greet there. We will go to Harvest Moon and have drinks. I'll go to Jefferson's and try to get oysters again. we can do the whole thing, man. I love Rome. Rome's a cool town, man. Rome's an underrated city in Georgia.
As I said, man, you drop somebody, if you just blindfold somebody and come set them down in downtown Rome, they're like, man, I'm somewhere, dude.
Yeah.
I'm in a very nice place. Now you can venture outside those confines of that downtown area and you probably wonder if you're in a third world country. I'm just joking. That's Pierce. That's where I'm from. But ultimately, it's a really cool place. But hey, thanks so much to Justin Williams and Joseph Jonah Ajanye and my man Bernard for setting that thing up. Huge for him. Georgia adds 5-star plus linebacker Justin Williams to its class, and huge addition for the Bulldogs. Huge addition for Bark After Dark. Palmer was telling us we had some record numbers rolling. Coming through Bark After Dark tonight. So sorry, real sorry, you know, if Matt Godwin, if your record on Bark After Dark falls, I do apologize. It's not our fault. It's Justin Williams' fault, so be mad at him. And we will catch you guys later on the week. The Georgia Show, Wednesday night, I'll be on there. And I believe it'll be the first show, if I'm not mistaken, for our new The new addition to our site, Jeremy Johnson. Myself, Jeremy Johnson, and Wes Blankenship will be on Wednesday night. We'll be talking about this and a lot more other stuff. So come check us out. We love you guys.
Birddogs.com/dogs.